Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome, everyone, to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor Podcast. And my name's Kristen Kulka. Today, I'm here with one of our co-founders, Teresa Kuhn. Teresa has been working with specially designed whole life insurance for over 35 years. And personally, she's been my mentor for over 10 years. I've learned everything I know from her. And every time I talk to Teresa, I learn something new. So I'm excited, Teresa, for you to share your wealth of information with our listeners today. Teresa, I know you know this. When we talk to clients, there are questions that seem to come up over and over again, right? So we wanted to have a Q&A with Teresa today to help answer some of those questions.
Thank you, Kristen, for that very sweet introduction. And I hope you haven't learned everything from me, but you've been an amazing student of financial services and whole life insurance. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you, Teresa. And let's dive right into those questions. So first of all, and probably most importantly, where does the 100-year mindset come from?
Well, the 100-year mindset really is the brainchild of Rick Sapio, who is one of our co-founders of the 100-year Real Estate Investor. And myself, it's a conversation he's been having with many of his, I would say, colleagues and relationships and associates that he's had over a long period of time. It was a conversation that I've had and I've developed over a long period of time. And when Rick became a client of mine, we realized how much we had in common from the perspective of values and our long-term thinking. But he really has been, I would say, the pioneer in trying to get that thought, that whole body of thinking, that whole body of work out there. And we have collaborated on that will be coming out. And it was so funny. It looked like he fell asleep. So we'll have to edit this. We've developed, co-written a number of books on the topic that's going to be coming out in 2022. And we're really excited about that. But really, it came from a values perspective and a thinking perspective and making decisions based on thinking about the long term.
Right. I know that long-termism is a value that you and Rick both share. And why is it important to take a long-term approach to financial planning and more specifically, real estate investing?
Well, actually, taking a long-term approach to every area of your life, I think, is extremely important. You know, we'll take the obvious, health, right? When we're young, many of us take advantage of being young and having all sorts of energy and being able to bounce back from ways that we beat our bodies up. And as we get older, many people look back in their younger lives and say, gosh, I wish I hadn't beaten up my body so bad. I wish I had treated it better. I wish I had eaten better. I wish I hadn't smoked or drank as much or done drugs or whatever. That's really obvious. When it comes to money and building wealth, pretty obvious. The earlier you start, right? The better off you are in terms of accumulating wealth, because time can be your friend or enemy when it comes to money. When it comes to real estate investing or business in general, if you take a short-term approach versus a long-term approach, what kind of real estate investing do you think you're going to make? What type of real estate investments are you going to invest in? Is it going to be the get rich quick? Let me make my money and run. Or are you going to be thoughtful and develop a vision for your future and develop a vision for what you want your life to look like, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years out? You know, we coined the term 100-year real estate investor. And sometimes we get pushback from, you know, our older clients who say, you know, I don't have 100 years. And even the young people probably don't have 100 years. So why 100 years? Well, it's to exaggerate the thinking, right? Think out 100 years, think out multiple generations, think out your children, and their children. And if you don't have children, don't want children, think about what kind of mark you want to leave in the world, And if you're thinking that long-term, even when it comes to real estate, even if you're, let's say, you're fixing and flipping, right? What's the plan? What's the goal? What's the objective? And that vision, that thinking about the future is going to inform the decisions you make today. You will make better decisions. It will energetically, spiritually pull you towards that vision. It's just remarkable how that happens. And the older I get, the more I see it, not only in my life, but in other people's lives.
Right. And you brought up two really important mistakes that we see real estate investors making with their money. You know, number one, chasing returns. Number two, not really thinking out what their long-term objectives are with the investments that they're making, what their exit strategy is. So what are some other mistakes that you see real estate investors making with their money?
Well, not having a plan, not having rules around investing, chasing every deal that comes their way, compromising on area, zip code, quality of property, on the return, on who's on their team, their partners, all of that, all of those mistakes cost you in the long term. Just think about this. If you've got a vision, if you're creating a real estate investing company that's got assets that are going to be in the books for 50, 60, 70 years, let's say 100 years, right? Or assets that the trust that will hold the property will never sell. Doesn't that automatically make you filter properties that probably are not very good properties in really good areas? Isn't that immediately just shift your thinking into, you know what? I want to make sure that these properties have really good infrastructure and are in really good locations today and will be timeless and serve the community. I mean, your decisions just with that filter will be so different. Gino and Jake, in terms of their rules for investing, they have very specific rules. And it's very easy to make a decision, right? When you have noise and chaos and you're not clear on what your rules are, there's a lot of confusion. And that confusion wastes time. But if you're very clear, these are my rules, these are the properties, these are the areas I work with, this is how old my properties are when I buy them, et cetera, very easy to make a decision. Yes or no? Yes or no? Should I go chase this opportunity or no? It makes life a lot easier. It makes life simple. It makes a very complicated business more simplistic. And when things are simple, guess what? You're going to have a higher probability of success.
Right. And that made me think about something, Therese. I'm going to kind of go off script a little bit here. So, Jake and Gino, we do hear them talking a lot to their community about having very specific criteria for the properties that they invest in. And if you talk to one of their students, they can list off that criteria like it's nothing, right? Do you think that they should have that same kind of criteria for where they're putting their money?
Absolutely. Every dollar on your balance sheet needs a job. And that goes by a criteria, that goes by a rule. So you look at your balance sheet and you say, my rule is going to be at no time will I have less than 20% of my balance sheet illiquid. I will have at least 20% liquid. And the job for 20% of those dollars needs to be in some place safe and secure, et cetera. That's an example of a rule. 20% liquidity for some real estate investors is pretty generous. Other real estate investors really have no liquidity. They've got a line of credit and they just keep investing over and over again. That's another example of a rule that someone has, a real estate investor has, and they're quite comfortable that way. We've got other clients that say, no, not only do I need a higher percentage of my balance sheet available to me liquid, I need a CapEx account. I need these dollars available in case something happens to the market where my credit lines are shut down. And I need a certain amount of cash liquid for if the market turns. It's really not if, it's when, because it always does. Cash is king. And that gives me an opportunity to go buy property when other people may not have cash or may not have lines of credit. So yes, everybody needs to have rules when it comes to their liquidity, their safe money, the dollars that you assign to being there to protect your balance sheet.
Right. And Teresa, we recommend for our real estate investor clients that that safe money, that liquid money, that guaranteed money that's there for, you know, those investment opportunities or for the CapEx funds, that they put those money in, those monies in cash value whole life insurance. Why is it cash value whole life insurance that you recommend?
Well, we've got a tagline that we like to say, it's save, your savings deserve more, right? And so, you know, if you think about where banks have a large portion of their balance sheet, it's in bank-owned life insurance. Many corporations have a huge position in corporate-owned life insurance. If these big, you know, corporations, banks are putting a significant amount into life insurance, there's got to be a reason why. Why aren't these corporations talking about it though, right? What do they know that the rest of retail market know? Well, it's because they know their savings deserve more. They can't have all their dollars working exposed to risk. They need to put of their dollars, of their balance sheet in something safe and secure. Well, they can stick it in a bank account, but they're not going to get that much for it. When you put it into specific type of cash value, whole life insurance, not only does your cash have a place to go that's going to earn more, it's going to have life insurance associated with it. It's going to have living benefits associated with it. It's going to give you the opportunity to become your own source of financing. When you tap into that money continues to work for you. We call that uninterrupted compounding. If it's done correctly, all of the gains grow tax exempt that you can pull out in the future, like for retirement income. It goes back to philosophy that we talk about all the time. The quality of your life is in direct proportion to the quality of options that you have. If you stick your money in a bank account instead of the type of whole life insurance that we talk about, you have one option, right? Well, you've got a couple things. You've got liquidity and you've got a little bit of a return. You position, you park that same money into our whole life insurance, you've got so many more options that, you know, today you might be young and healthy and not even married and not have kids and think, gosh, you know, I don't need life insurance, right? I don't have a need for it today. And I've got all these cool real estate opportunities to invest in. Why would I want to put my money into something like a whole life policy? That's very short-term thinking. Life will come at you fast, like the commercial says, right? And one day you might be married, you might have kids, you might have the need for insurance, you might have the need for having you know, access to financing because the banks have tightened up the credit. There's so many things that come up in life that you can access the money from your policies with.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you touched on a lot of these points, you know, what makes our whole life insurance strategy different than traditional whole life insurance. A lot of people that we talk to, they have that preconceived notion that life insurance, whole life insurance especially, is a bad investment. What would you say to those people?
Well, it depends on your definition of investment, right? And so I go back to, what are the jobs that you're giving your dollars on your balance sheet? Is every dollar supposed to give you a return? So you don't want to be, of course, thinking that, well, you know, some money is just going to sit here and not get anything for it, right? If some dollars that you've got designated in your balance sheet, you've got it allocated to something safe, then I don't know of a better strategy or a better product to put your money in that gives you so much what the whole life insurance gives you. And, you know, we're thinking about not only the long term, but also the short term. In the short term, you do have a significant amount of liquidity, use and control of that cash. And then let's say 10 years out, right? Just to put a number out there, the policy really hasn't cost you anything out of pocket. When you've got more cash in the policy than what you've put in, and you've got the life insurance, and you've got that tax exempt growth, and you can access the money for any reason that you want. And when you access it, it's still growing for you. You know, I think that is just an amazing There's so many benefits there that really no other product or financial strategy can give you.
Right. And you mentioned that the cash value and that the cash value can be more than what you've put in. So how do these policies grow? Are they linked to the market?
No, they're not linked to the market. We use very specific mutual insurance companies. By definition, a mutual insurance company is there to serve the policyholders, similar to like a credit union. You know, I like to compare a mutual insurance company with a stock insurance company versus a credit union and a bank. Banks typically are there for the benefit of the shareholders. The profit that the bank will realize in any given year will go to that value that they create through the profits is given to the shareholders. And a credit union, really, it's there to benefit the members and to give back to the members. Well, same thing with the insurance industry, right? You've got the mutual insurance companies that are like the credit unions. They're there to increase the value of the policyholders. The policyholders participate in the profits of the insurance company, and life insurance is a profitable business. On the other hand, stock insurance companies, they're there to benefit the shareholders. The profit that they realize is there for the shareholders. So what structure is more aligned with that of the consumer? Well, obviously the mutual insurance company, right? Because they're in alignment with my interests. They're there for my interests, to serve my interests. A regular stock insurance company is not. Actually, the performance of those policies is in direct competition with the performance or the distributions that they may be giving to their shareholders.
Right. That makes sense. So Teresa, talk a little bit about how real estate investors can take advantage of this strategy.
Well, you know, the real estate investors that we work with typically are pretty sophisticated, and they've got their machine. They've got their team of advisors. They've got a process to identify properties that they want to invest in. They've got ways of funding those investments, either through syndicates, raising money with joint ventures, banks, hard money lenders, you know, et cetera. And so we don't necessarily want to disrupt what real estate investors are already doing. What we want to do is give them a track that they can run parallel in the short term. So in the long term, and it's not even that long of a term, maybe 3 years, 5 years down the road, they've got the money back into the policy that they've put in there 100%. And they can start using it alongside with what they're doing with all the additional benefits that we've talked about.
That's great. And how quickly can they access their cash if they want to use the policy to invest in a real estate deal?
Well, you know, technically the first month that they put money into their policy, they're going to have cash available to them because of the design, because of the companies we work with, because of, you know, how we set these up, right? And so if they put money in, you know, let's say the first of the month, by the 21st of that month, that money is available to them to borrow.
Got it. That's great. So when we talk about real estate investors accessing their policy values, so accessing the cash inside their policies, we're talking about them borrowing against the policy, right? So it is a loan against the cash value of their policy. So do they have to be approved for that policy loan like they would at a bank or finance company? Does it affect their credit rating? How does that work?
No, it's absolutely private. The only thing from a qualification perspective is the value that's in the policy that's available for a loan. It's called loan value. And they can take that out and there is no qualifications, no questions asked. It's nobody's business what they want to use that money for. Nobody knows about that transaction. Nobody knows about that loan. It's just between them and the insurance company, and they decide how they want to pay it back. Now, I will say one thing. You can take out a loan or you can take a withdrawal from your policy. You don't always have to take loans. But withdrawals you can't pay back. The loans you do want to pay back. And why would you want to pay back a loan when if you're, you know, the banker and you're the one in charge and you're the one that makes the decisions as to how you're going to pay that back? Because you want that money back into your policy to serve you in the future. And that's, you know, considering your age, right? If you're in your 60s or 70s or maybe even your 50s and you decided that you don't want to contribute anymore to the policy or you want that policy serving you, then you are going to tap into the policy values from a loan perspective to have that policy serve you. And the expectation and the understanding is that you're not paying it back. One other thing I'm going to say when it comes to loans is the uninterrupted compounding that you get when you take out a loan versus a withdrawal. When you take out a withdrawal, then that the growth in the policy is not growing as quickly as if you were borrowing from the policy. When you're borrowing from the policy, the insurance company is crediting you as if the entire amount of your value was in the policy. And that's what we call uninterrupted compounding. So to give an example, if you've got $100,000 sitting in cash value and you borrow out $90,000 to go invest in some real estate deal, the insurance company is growing your policy, is crediting your policy as if you had $100,000 in that policy. And so what we teach our clients to do, hey, take that $90,000, go invest it, go compound it, go do what you do normally. Your money inside your policy is going to continue to grow. When you sell your property or when you've got cash flow from your property, start paying that money back. Why? Because you're going to have another opportunity to invest that money. And when that time comes, you'll just take out a loan and go do it again and do it again and do it again.
Right. I think any of our listeners that follow Nelson Nash will appreciate this, but don't steal peas from your grocery store, right?
Yes. Yes. Why don't you share a little bit about that story and what that's about? Because a lot of people don't necessarily get that.
Absolutely. So the great Nelson Nash, he, you know, really has, gosh, such a history about educating the public on this concept. He taught his followers that you should think of your policy like you think of starting your own business. So let's say you owned your grocery store and at your grocery store, you sell canned peas. As the owner of that grocery store, you would think that you should just be able to take the peas off the shelf and walk out the front door with them, right? But are you harming your business at that point? Or are you hurting your business at that point, right? Those losses that your business is incurring by you stealing the peas, that's going to create some long-term problems for you and your business. So treat your policy like you would treat your own company, like you would treat your own bank, and make sure that you pay for the peas that you'd like to purchase from the store.
I know, it seems so silly, but stealing one can of peas a day, right? Or a week. If you're a grocery store owner, that's money that you're not bringing in. There's no longer that inventory for you to turn it around. And Nelson was the consummate long-term thinker. He was a forester by education. And so, you know, the short-term thinking is, hey, our family's got a grocery store. We can go raid it and, you know, take the candy and take the peas and not pay it back. And no problem. That's okay short-term. But if you're a long-term thinker, you know, those dollars, that revenue that's not coming in because you took some of that inventory and didn't pay for it is going to impact your business in the long term. So yeah, that's a great story. And we teach the same, right? Hey, pay back your loans, right? You don't always have to pay back your loans. We have a lot of clients that tap into their values when they're older to supplement their retirement or to act as income coming in instead of taking it from other sources or other investments because they're waiting for those investments to mature. And so they tap into their policies. And at that point, you know, we teach our clients, look, you don't have to pay this back if you don't want to. And if you want to, if you've got a windfall and you've got some dollars that you want to position back into the policy, just pay back those loans. It's only going to increase your value in the long term. And I will say one other thing about the uninterrupted compounding. I had a series of conversations with the client and we were going over his numbers and he had been working with me for quite a while, but finally got the concept of uninterrupted compounding. And we looked at, and the way we did this was we looked at the dividend scales that were being credited to his policy with and without a loan. And with the loan, he saw, he did the math and he said, this can't be right. Your illustration must be wrong because I'm seeing a crediting into my policy of like 20% when my value is a certain amount. And to give you the math, the value was gross 5 million and he took out a loan and had 500,000. But the dividends that were credited were based on the 5 million, not on the 500,000. He said, that must be wrong. And I showed him painstakingly, this is your dividend scale without a loan. This is your dividend scale with a loan. It's exact. It has not changed. Take your $5 million, you guess that, go create more wealth with that $5 million, and guess what your policy is doing? It's remarkable. And it blows my mind. You know, I'm talking to him, I'm sharing it with him. I know this, I've done this for how long, but I experienced vicariously his aha moment again. He was so excited, right?
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to buy more real estate. We're going to open up more policies because he's getting it, right? So it's really a remarkable thing. And going back to your first question, Kristen, long-term thinking. Why long-term thinking? If you're thinking about the short term, if you're thinking about day one, I put $100,000 into a policy and I don't have $100,000 of cash available to me. I want, you know, I have that negative my first day, my first year, you're going to miss the fruit that comes from having these policies long-term.
Absolutely. No, that's such a great story to tell. I remember looking at that case and it just blew my mind too. You know, we know this, we teach this, we show this every day. And sometimes just seeing it in action, it's like, oh my gosh, this really is incredible. It's very cool when that light bulb goes off for our clients. And then it also is so cool when it reinforces what we do.
And those numbers are specific to him, right? Not everybody's going to accumulate $5 million in their policies. So we don't want to set up that expectation because everybody's a little bit different. But hey, if you don't have $5 million in your policy, but you have $50,000, that's still $50,000 that's serving you in a way that it's not going to serve you if you don't have a policy.
Right. The uninterrupted compounding works whether you have $500 in your policy or $500 million.
You got it.
So talk a little bit about how the policies are taxed.
The policies are taxed. They grow tax deferred. And when it comes to retirement income, you're taking it out tax exempt. Now, what's the difference in the play of words, right? The policies, if they're designed correctly, the growth inside the policies is deferred. You're not paying taxes on any of the growth or the gains in the policy or any of the dividends that are being distributed to the policy. And when it comes to retirement income, which is many of our clients want to design these policies to supplement their retirement, we teach you how you can pull out that money without triggering a taxable event. Now, that's super important for people who are considering that today our tax code rates are the lowest that they've been historically for a very, very long time. Do any of us who are paying attention believe that taxes are not going to go up? Of course they are. And then there's that old fable that's out there in financial services that says, well, you know, you'll be in a lower tax bracket because you'll have lower income when you're in retirement. Well, you might have lower income, but who wants lower income? I don't want a lower standard of living when I'm retired, which isn't a word in my vocabulary. I don't want a lower standard of living at any time in my life, right? But what do I want? I want my income to be tax exempt. Three types of taxable income or three types of income. There's taxable income, there's tax deferred income, and there's tax exempt income. Kristen, which one do you want?
Tax exempt every day.
As much as you can get of tax exempt income, or just being able to tap into money that you control without triggering a taxable event. You know, very wealthy people, they've figured this stuff out. They've got access to cash. They're not necessarily triggering a taxable event with the cash that they've got access to. What do they know and what are they doing that the rest of us aren't?
Right. That's a great point. Now, we've talked a lot about the benefits that people are getting from this strategy. What are some of the pitfalls and why don't more people do this if it's so great? I love that question.
Why don't more people do it if it's so great? You know, I really think it's awareness. I really think most people aren't really aware. There's so much of there's a lot of financial education out there, a lot of financial infotainment, entertainment that's out there. And it really is, I think the conversation is more focused towards traditional investing. You know, Wall Street, what does Wall Street want? Assets under management. They want as much of someone's money as possible inside of types of plans that people can't access until they're very old. They are long-term thinkers. You want to see an industry that's a long-term thinker? Wall Street and Congress and the IRS, because they set up in the 80s tax codes to encourage people to save for their retirement in accounts that you can't touch for decades until you're 59 and a half. Aren't they long-term thinkers? Now, did they do that to be good for, you know, consumers? No, absolutely not.
Teresa, we've talked a whole lot about the benefits of using this strategy. So talk a little bit about what the pitfalls are, and if this strategy is so great, why don't more people do it?
Why don't more people do it? Well, people do it, right? We talked about bank-owned life insurance. We talked about corporate-owned life insurance. If you look at their 10Ks and you look at their balance sheets and you see that there's a significant amount of insurance on their balance sheets, BOLI and COLI, bank-owned life insurance and corporate-owned life insurance. But do you think a bank's going to put information out there, put advertisement out there, put education out there that encourages savers to put money in a life insurance, cash value life insurance, or in their banks where they're paying just a minuscule return? Well, of course they're not incentivized to do that, right? And corporate-owned life insurance, you really don't hear about it, but it's there. Look at companies' 10Ks. Wall Street, why would they encourage people to put money outside of the Wall Street products and services where they make a ton of money? And qualified plans. Talk about long-term thinking. Congress and Wall Street are long-term thinkers. In the 80s, when they enacted the laws that allowed for individuals to save for their retirements, because corporate America wanted to transfer that responsibility from corporate America to the individual, Wall Street was looking at fees that they could charge for a very long term. If you're in your 20s and you set up one of these retirement accounts that you can't tap into until you're 59 and a half, that's huge for Wall Street and Congress and the IRS as well, because you are accumulating a debt all those years in the form of taxes that you're going to have to pay to the IRS at some point in time. So I think that addresses why don't we hear more about whole life insurance, but what are the pitfalls to whole life insurance? You know, day one for real estate investors, you don't have 100% of the cash available to you to turn around and invest. That is, I think, the number one pitfall, so to speak. And I don't think it's a pitfall. I think if investors, and not just real estate investors, anybody looks at what it takes to have a good quality financial strategy, even investing in real estate, not every investment is going to give you equity 100% day one. Not every business. Not, you know, when you invested in your education, you certainly didn't make a return on that education day one. But when the policies do start making a return and give you 100% liquidity that you've put in and more, that's when you start to recognize, oh my goodness, the pain in the beginning, the perceived pain in the beginning, so worth it.
I want to add my 2 cents to the last part of that question. Why don't more people do this? Because I love getting that question. I really do. And I think that we all have a tendency to live in our own echo chambers, right? So if we haven't been exposed to this strategy, we're not going to hear about it. Right? Because we're not talking about it and we're not looking for it. We're looking for the things that we're familiar with. Tons of people use this strategy, politicians, business owners, right? I had a client tell me that he heard Tony Robbins talking about it, Robert Kiyosaki. You know, There are so many successful, powerful, influential people that use this strategy in their financial plan. And maybe we're just not hearing them talk about it, but they certainly do. So I think that there are quite a few people out there that are using this strategy.
I love that response. And I love the idea of echo chambers, because it's so true. If you're in your little chamber and all you're hearing is the same advice and the same financial solutions and strategies from the people in your orbit, so to speak, you're never going to learn anything different. But if you step outside of that echo chamber or that orbit, you'll see there's so many people that use the strategy.
And to build on that, and this is actually our last question, Teresa, you know, I've also noticed, and I'm sure you have as well, in the past 5 years, more and more advisors and insurance agents kind of hopping on the bandwagon when it comes to this strategy and kind of rebranding it, you know, making it their own thing and marketing it to their clients. So when you go and shop for this strategy, you're going to run into a lot of other people that are offering the same thing that we are, or at least packaging it in a similar way. So what makes us different? And why should people use the 100-year real estate investor when it comes to setting up their policies?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, we were doing this way before it was popular to do this. I'll speak for myself. I have been in financial services for almost 35 years. And when I replace of ideas and strategies, financial strategies, looking for a solution that I could offer a client that was congruent with my understanding of money and was congruent with my philosophy and my values. So I was thinking long-term. And do you know that the average financial services client turns over their financial services advisor every 3 years? Talk about a lack of long-term relationship. That's not what I wanted. That was not the kind of endearing, long-term, enduring business that I wanted to create, the relationship that I wanted to create with my clients. And in order to do that, I needed to have financial solutions that served my client for the long term. And so I took a path less traveled, for sure, and found my teachers, found my mentors like Nelson Nash, right? So we've been doing this for almost 20 years. We have our team that has, over 100 years of experience in setting up these policies, designing these policies, managing these policies, serving our clients with these policies. It's not just setting up the policy correctly. It is managing these policies and making sure that the loans are processed correctly and making sure that the intelligence around using these policies is good strategy. And we have so much experience, probably as much experience as anyone out there, working with sophisticated investors. The more sophisticated you are, the more strategic your thinking has to be, right? And so we've got the years of experience. We've got the team. You're not talking to just or working with just an advisor. You're working with a whole team that's supporting that professional. You also have, which is super important, our team here, our group specializes in working with real estate investors. The real estate investing business is a little bit different than other businesses, right? And so we have an expertise in working with real estate investors. We are the only logical choice for real estate investors when it comes to a whole life insurance solution. And we've got a counter up on our website. Combined, we've done over $1 billion of death benefit of life insurance at the time that the policy was issued. Today, those numbers would be billions, right? Based on how the death benefit grows. So very, very few people in the marketplace have our experience, have our area of expertise working real estate professionals. Edit that, please. Very few have experience working with real estate professionals. And very few have the backup and support team that's there to love and serve on our clients that we have put together.
Absolutely. I think that sums it up perfectly. We have the experience and we have the ability to surface use policies long-term. And it's all about long-termism, right? Thinking 100 years into the future, you want to work with someone that's not going to be there just today to sell you the policy, but years from today to service that policy and make sure that you're using it correctly. So thank you so much, Teresa. We always appreciate you joining us and sharing your wealth of knowledge with the community. For those of you that would like to get more information on the 100-year real estate investor or talk about starting a policy of your own, go to 100yearrei.com.
Thank you, Kristen. It's been a lot of fun.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.